Psalms tonight, and Psalms 26 is where we'll start. Psalms 26. So, like, the PA is working good tonight. That's good. Brett's been spent a lot of time and money on this thing, trying to get it right where it doesn't screech or get interfered with or whatever. And so, I kind of like the screeching right in the middle of a sermon when people are getting tired. But it feels like they got the air conditioning on here now. It feels like the temperature's better. We talked to them this week, and so maybe they got it fixed. And so. It feels like it. I feel like I'm getting fresh air in here. So, Psalms 26. Maybe it's one of those weeks where everything gets fixed and goes right. That'd be a nice week. We don't always have those. And so, Psalms 26 and verse 1. It says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. For I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart." This is a courageous prayer. I always felt, get a little off subject, get back to the subject, I always felt my whole Christian life that there was something better than the Christianity I see, and something more powerful, and something more victorious and real. And not that I believe I have been around the best of Christianity in America, and for the most part. I'm sure there's little pockets, and it's one church, it's just incredible that nobody knows except for God. I'm sure of all those things, but in general, you know what I'm saying, I'm not around dead Christians. I'm around fiery Christians who love the Lord and are sacrificially living in America. And it's just hard to be a good Christian in America. We have too much prosperity, and there's nothing in the Gospels, there's nothing that killed Christianity as much as prosperity and wealth. At Laodicean church and the rich young ruler and many others, and Demas, and many people, even the people who were with the apostles. It was very dangerous, and we have that in spades. And so, I've always felt like Christianity is more powerful, more holy, more spirit-filled. And I've never really seen exactly what I picture in my mind of Christianity looking like. A little bit I've seen in the mission field, but even there, I don't think. I have this vision of what I want to see someday and what I want our church to be someday. And we haven't gotten there yet, and we're still a long way from there. And I'm still a long way from there, but I've seen that, and I see that in the Bible, and when we're looking at being psalmist here, one of the things what we're talking about tonight is people asking God to search them. And one thing that he says here, just the first two words, is "Judge me." And I don't know that if I said, how many of you want to look at God and say, "God, go ahead, judge me and see if I'm good enough and if I should be blessed or not blessed." You know, judge me is almost saying, "Give me what I deserve, Lord, and make a decision here on whether I've done right or wrong." I think most of us want that. I think we want to say, "Be merciful to me and not judge me." Yet that's being psalmish. And then he goes a little farther. He says, "Lord, search me and see if there's anything in me that's not supposed to be there." And now that's a little farther. Is asking God to search you and to look into you. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and mine heart. For thy faithfulness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." He says, I know I've lived the right kind of life. We touched on this last week. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into it. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you for the word of God. And I pray that your spirit would help us understand. And Lord, though I may not be a great preacher, Lord, I pray that the word would go forth powerfully and there would be the great truth that helped change our lives, Lord, and form us and renew our minds to be thinking like you'd have us to think and to be holy like you'd have us to be holy. We ask for your help now and for your spirit to move and for you to speak to us. We ask for the blessing of God on this service, and we pray this and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. "Search me, O God, and judge me." In Romans 8, the victory chapter in the Bible, it looks like you can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Romans 6, you can become a pretty victorious Christian. We don't have to be that. We don't have to be your righteousness is filthy rags, like it was said about that. I believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I think the Christian life can be completely victorious and transforming and wonderful and great. And we don't have to live in defeat to sin. I don't think that's the norm of New Testament Christianity, of what God says we have available to us. We might not access that, but I believe heaven's got a lot of bank accounts that are awfully full that we could withdraw from, but we don't do. And so we live in mediocrity. But he says, I've walked righteously, Lord, judge me, and go ahead and give me what I deserve, and then search me. And if there's anything in there that's not right, I know everything I know of is fixed. Everything I'm walking in is good. I want you to judge me and to search me and to check me out and to make sure that nothing is right. Nothing is wrong. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And by the way, that pursuit of the great, powerful New Testament Christianity, I've read about it a whole bunch. It happens during revival times. And we have not said, well, I guess we're not going to have it. There is no chance on earth that's going to happen. We are going to get that. We're going to seek that. We're waiting on God, and we're pursuing that. And the Bible says, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we're seeking that. And I hope you're around when that comes. And you want that. Again, a prayer for God to search them. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. So it's pretty specific here. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And then he says, try me. Now, trying, there's two different things there. First, searching me, and then trying me. And also, back here in Psalms 126, he says, God, try the reins of my heart. And so he says to do those things. And verse 24, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into life everlasting. And so we see these things. He says, I want you to search me, God. I want you to check and see if there's anything wrong with me. Being psalmish includes you asking God to search and to fix everything and find anything in you that's lacking. It is seeking God to reveal to you anything that you didn't complete. It is a hunger for completion. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what Jesus commands us. And so we are supposed to be seeking that. I think one thing that draws some people to our church is that we are not settling for good enough. That we have a hunger for completion. And you're not looking at somebody who's there yet. I wish I could say, folks, I got it. And I've become perfect. My Father in heaven is perfect. And I've been completed. I'm not that. But we don't rest in our pretty good Christianity. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves and say we're better than the average. We're not looking for that. Our standard is, as your Father in heaven is imperfect, we're nowhere near perfect, and I'm nowhere near perfect, and the church is nowhere near perfect. But many churches, if they're pretty good, are pretty happy because their life isn't falling apart, and they're a pretty good Christian, and so let's just rest there. And we don't want that. He says, search me and know me. Find anything in me. Let me know if it's there and try to find that. He's asking for God to search him and know him. He says, because I've already searched myself. I've already done what I should do. I've already checked my own life. I've already found what's in me, Lord. And I've gotten out of there. And Lord, I need you to take me to the next level. I need you to search me now because you are much better at finding these things than I am. Let me show you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The context being communion. So the first thing I want us to do is I want us to examine ourselves. We're commanded to do that in the Bible. The Bible says examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, for example. You're supposed to examine yourselves. And in communion, you're supposed to examine yourselves. Because it says there's a couple judgments here. And in communion, the context of taking communion unworthily and wickedly, it says we should examine ourselves before we take communion, because if we don't examine ourselves, God will have to examine us. And if God examines us and judges us, then it might not be pretty, and some people even die. So examine your own self, and God will not need to judge you if you judge yourself. He says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 27. let me get 2 Corinthians. Let me get in 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And verse 27, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall drink of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh himself, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and some sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, when my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." It's something I teach on a lot. It's a principle I talk about a lot, because it's one of the most common things that I ever have to deal with myself and helping other people. Is people want to get to the unknown will of God before they even do the will of God they know. And people want to know some mysterious will of God, and we just talked about that. We won't talk about that. But some people want to know, what's hindering my life? Well, you might ask me that. Or you might ask God that, and God's going to say, "Well, it's this obvious thing you already know about here. Okay, I know that, Lord, but what else?" How about you take what God has revealed to you? I mean, I don't know about you. When I go to pray, I don't get very far in my prayer before God says, "Hey, there's something here not dealt with." I don't get very far. I mean, I would like to follow the biblical pattern of, you know, praise and honoring God and then going down your requests and forgive us our debts is toward the end. I don't do that because God always taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, before we get too far in this prayer thing, I got something to remind you about. Remember this?" And I always know what it is pretty quick. And so you don't need to know. You don't need to be judged by God if you'll judge yourself. It seems like God is saying in 1 Corinthians 11, judge yourself, get it right, because if you're going to be judged by God, it's not pretty. Some people are sick and even die because of it. And so it's kind of like, you know what? You see the policeman on the side of the road and you're going 90. You can say, "Whoa, I better slow myself down here." Or you can say, "You know what? I'm just going to let the policeman teach me to not speed." Okay, I'd rather self-judge myself and say, "Naughty boy, naughty foot, slow down." And slow down instead of the policeman saying you were speeding. See, because the punishment for the policeman is more severe. I would rather confess my sins before God has to chasten me, just like a child should obey mom and dad before mom and dad has to spank them. And so we should examine ourselves. And I love what Billy Sunday said one time. He says, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that get me. It's the parts that I do understand." And so often, we know what's wrong, but we thought about that and settled that so long, we want to just jump over that and say, "Okay, anything else?" And God said, "I will reveal to you more, but right now I've already revealed to you, and you've not been faithful in that which is least, and I can reveal more to you of what's wrong." You know what's wrong. Like it says, if a husband and wife won't get along, their prayers will be hindered. Well, they might go, "Well, I don't understand why my prayers aren't getting answered," because you're not getting along as a husband and wife. Okay, fine, but what else? Well, get along and we'll find if there's anything else. Because the Bible tells you what's wrong. And so we should, first of all, examine ourselves. And then once we've examined ourselves and become clean, we should ask God to examine us. Because the Lord sees everything. And the Lord sometimes knows things that are in you that you don't know are in you. If you were to give me a list of what I needed to change, and most of you are in the same shoes, if you were to give me a list of things that I needed to have me make a list of things that I needed to change when I first got saved, I would have given you a list, and it would have been an important list of things I needed to change. But you know what? If that's all I would have changed, I wouldn't have become a very good Christian. Because that was only the glaring, terrible things. It's kind of like a guy who goes to the ICU unit with his arm cut off. You know what? They're not checking your every little thing on your vitals and everything else. They're trying to stop the blood flow, and then they maybe later on they can check your blood sugar later on. But they're not checking everything right now. Let's just get the major stuff. Let's just go ahead and stop the bleeding and keep you alive. And as a Christian, God says there's things you know. But then as you go along, you find out, you know what? I got the big ugly stuff out of my life, and I hope you've done that. You're not a baby anymore spiritually, unless you were just saved last week. But I hope you're not a baby you've gotten the big things out, but then all of a sudden you find out you got this pride issue you didn't even know you had. And all of a sudden you got this issue where you just won't go witness and you won't be bold in your witness. And then there's this issue of your eyes, and there's this issue of your temper, and then there's this issue of your prayer life, and there's a bunch of things that need to be fixed and improved along the way. And sometimes there's issues that aren't even Bible or morality issues, but something's too important to you, and God's trying to get you to give it up. And there's so many things that we are fixing these things. And so God knows about those things. When I was in California at this last pastor's conference in February, Brother David Gibbs, he's a great man of God and has been serving the Lord faithfully his whole life. I guess he's late 60s now. And he was talking about fasting and how Brother Fisher taught him about fasting. And Brother Fisher, he has this big ministry about fasting and teaching people about fasting. He's fasted 40 days ago, several times and all these things. And Brother Gibbs was talking about, you know, Brother Fisher, he's taught us about fasting. I really decided to step out and fast. And I don't remember the rest of his sermon, but I remember the statement he said. He says, the last time I fasted longer than I ever had before, and I'd fasted many times, and right in the middle of that fast, God revealed something in me that I never even knew was there. Because God searched him, and he kind of got to that point where he's saying, search me, O God, know me, and find out if there's any wicked thing in me. And all of a sudden, there was something in there where I didn't know I had this thing wrong. It wasn't a big deal to me, but all of a sudden, the heavenly doctor did. Brother Larry Smith, who's preached for us so many times, he was a very sick man and dying in a wheelchair, I don't know, a dozen years ago. Very sick, and they were just given a little time left. He was in a wheelchair. He's very sick, very old, lost all of his weight, and was looking like a dying person, and was very, very sick. When you saw him here, he looked very healthy and strong 10 years later. And the doctors told me, just your kidneys are failing, I think they said, and you got this issue, and you're just, you know, it's just, your body's giving up. And he said, well, I got nothing to lose. And so he went to some alternative doctors. Ended up, he called on a phone a Mennonite doctor, Amish doctor, one of the two, I don't remember which. And he says, well, give me your symptoms. Anyway, it's a long story, and I don't want to get it wrong, but he said, it's not your kidney, it's your liver, and it's affecting your kidney, or it's your kidney, and it's affecting your liver, one of the two, and I'm not a doctor. And he explained that to him. And he said, that can't be right. The doctors did run all these tests. And so he went to another of the same type of naturopath. They're actually medically trained, but they're also do those things. And he went out to them and didn't tell him about the other Amish doctor or the Mennonite doctor, whichever it was. And he said, what's wrong? What do you think's wrong with me? And the guy said, look at my eyes. A lot of your eyes are very revealing about your health issues. And he said, it's your liver. Same thing. Went to Dr. Streeter, a third opinion, who's a DO, and said, what do you think is wrong with me? And he said, it's this problem. They started treating it a totally different way and started treating him, and pretty soon he's walking up and around. Sometimes people don't know. Sometimes you think something's one thing's wrong with you, and it's another thing wrong with you. Sometimes we think something's wrong with our car, but an expert mechanic can tell us it's not that, it's this. You think when our shuttle out there, the big diesel shuttle, that's got a system on there, when it gets low on oil, the fuel won't pump. And it feels exactly like you're running out of gas. And that thing burns oil like crazy, and several times I've started off and felt like I was running out of gas, and I look at the gas tank, I said, I got gas in that thing. Found out later, it looked like I was running out of gas, but the problem really was oil. But it won't let it pump the fuel, so it won't run when the oil is there. All that to say that is sometimes you need to go to God, the master doctor, and say, is there anything unhealthy in me? Because if you ever done this, have you ever changed your health habits and afterward you felt good and you didn't know you felt bad before? Because you felt so bad for so long, you're just used to it. That happens to many people when they change their diets. They say, I didn't even know I was tired all the time. I didn't know I was unhealthy. I didn't know all that stuff. They didn't know those things. Well, when you go to God, you might know everything that you know, but you might say, God, Lord, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm not doing these terrible sins anymore, Lord, but I want to be everything you want me to do. Search me, God, and see if there's anything in me else. Is there anything else that I need to get rid of? That's what a psalmist Christian does. They ask God to examine them. And then they ask God to let God try them. And let's go back to Psalms in chapter 26 again. Go back to our original text. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Try my reins and my heart. And we can go to Psalms chapter 7. in verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish a just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And then, same thing in Jeremiah 17:12. It says, God who trieth the reins and the hearts. Jeremiah 11:20. And then we went to Psalms 139 earlier. And I'm not going to, of course, read all these verses in Jeremiah, but in these verses, it says, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my hearts. God tries us, and he wants us, and this is the hard thing about this lesson tonight, is he says, God, try me. Try my reign and heart and test and check and see. Just test me, God, and see if there's something not there. Now, that's really, really advanced. How many of us want God, just give me something that I really don't want to do, or give me, just try something and see if I'll keep serving you. Test me, God, and see if there's anything I'm not willing to do to you. Maybe you can call me to some crazy country. Maybe you can go tell me to go witness to somebody I don't witness to. Maybe you can have me give up some food I don't like, or whatever. Just try me out. God, check me out. Try me. Try my heart. Try my reins. Just try and try me and test me and see if I'd be like Job or who I'd be like. This isn't a very fun sermon, is it? But he wanted so bad to be right with God. He wanted so bad. The psalmists, they wanted so bad. They said, God, search me. Find if there's anything else left in here. And then test me and see if I wouldn't do anything for you. If there's anything you want to test me in. And boy, I hope we can say like Job, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as pure gold. I think, if we're honest, I think we kind of tend to, hey, Lord, I love you and I do anything for you, but don't try it. Don't check it out. Just trust me. Take my word for it. I think that's kind of the way we think. I think we kind of just don't really want to have to prove it. I think you'd rather just say, I love you, Lord, with my whole heart and with everything. You're the most important thing in my life. And by the way, God's going to test that. Every great decision in the Bible, you can just look at Daniel's life, for example. But every great decision, either God or the devil checks and tests out if it's real. You decide you're going to keep on going to church, you'll have an opportunity to not go to church. You decide you're going to keep yourself pure until you're married, somebody's going to try that. You decide you're not going to date the wrong kind of person, the wrong kind of person will come to date you. You decide you're going to tithe, your finances will fail. Your decisions get checked. And he looks at the Lord and says, Lord, try me. Because I want to know if there's anything I wouldn't do for you. Check it out, and if there is anything, let's work on it, let's fix it. I want to get this right with you, and I want to fix that. It's better to be honest about things and be humble and just bring things out. It's better for the gold to be tried and come forth pure in the heat than it is to just always be a dirty clump of gold mixed in with a lot of other things. It's always better to get everything right. It's better that a person finds out that they can't handle some situation. Listen, it's better for a person to go ahead and be an intern before they become the emergency room doctor. For all of a sudden the person comes in and needs major work and they're about to die and the doctor goes, ooh. That's not good. And it's good to get tested beforehand and see what's there. And know about it. And you know what? If you know about it, you can change it and fix it. And he says, try me, O God. The psalmist Christian says, try me and show me if there's anything wrong with me and do this. And so we need to examine ourselves first of all, then move on to out of that grade school of just removing the things we know we need to remove. And then go on to high school and say, search me, God, and find if there's anything wicked in me. And then we go to college and say, God, try me. Try me. And try my reins and heart and check and see what it's like. The one man came out, and I read this story just this morning. I was reading about the Pharisee, the publican, and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee just said, God, I thank you, I'm not like other sinners like this guy, and I thank you that I don't have sin like them, and I tithe and all these things. And the man wouldn't look up to heaven and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew his condition, and he went away justified because he dealt with it. He just dealt with it instead of not thought it. And I think if we could go through our layers of what you and I do, and just being honest with us in our level of spirituality many times, I think we're like a person when you go to God who maybe something's wrong, and we might go to the doctor and we think, boy, I hope he doesn't tell me it has anything to do with my diet. And I really hope it doesn't help, tells me does I don't have to exercise or anything. And I hope he tells me it doesn't have anything to do with surgery. I want to go to the doctor, and if there's something wrong and it doesn't hurt to get rid of it or change it, if he can just give me a pill maybe. And so we go to the doctor and say, well, I've got this pain in my side, and it kind of hurts me. And then we kind of go to, and the doctor says, you know what? The problem is you are eating too much candy. Oh, well, but I know that. I know it. I have candy for breakfast, ice cream for lunch, and cake for dinner. I know that. And Starbucks in between. And so I get eggnog or something that's healthier. So, and there's dairy in there. And so I have that. Okay, so that's the problem, is your diet. Okay, so I understand that. Now, is there anything else wrong? Well, I don't know yet. We got to fix that before we can even see if anything else. We got to get your blood sugar and your this and your that and your weight and your da-da-da-da-da-da-da all fixed. So let's start here. Here's a diet. No. I don't want a diet. I just want to be better. Some people might go to the doctor, and that's the person who just wants to be fixed without changing anything. Some of us kind of go to the doctor, and we want to know about this. We want to know if there's something wrong with us, and you know what? We want to change it because we're okay Christians. That's us, and we're not too bad, and we're going to fix that thing. And the doctor says, you know what, though? Can I just do a checkup on you and find out if there's anything else wrong with you? No. This is enough. If I can just do this, I'll be happy. But you know, you got a lump over there I'm kind of worried about. And some of your blood counts aren't quite right. Well, I don't really want to know about all that. And then there are some people who might even go to the doctor and say, doctor, I think I'm healthy. I've fixed the thing. But you know what? I want to know if there's anything else wrong or anything else I can fix or anything else is dangerous. I want to live healthy and long and be right. Is there anything else I need to do? You tell me, doctor, everything I know I'm doing, but you're the doctor. And the doctor says, well, you're doing this right, you're doing this right, you're doing this right. I think you're having too much dairy, and I think you need to do some low-impact exercises, and that'll help lower your blood pressure, and I think you need to take more vitamins. And we might say, well, I'm not, you know what? That's for people who really want to excel in life, in their health. And to be psalmist, again, if we could just go back the whole sermon, it's those who really say, God, is there anything else? And we're not like the person who, the phrase is in Luke 10:29, it says Jesus told him the situation, and he willing to justify himself, ask another question. See, when your heart isn't, Lord, if there's anything wrong, what happens is somewhere in this in between, what happens is you can say, I don't want to change that. And in order to justify you saying, I don't want to change that, the things you know about and you're afraid to even go to where you say, search me, O God, what you do is begin to justify your sin. Well, I do this because so-and-so did this. And you try to find somebody else to be at fault for your sin. And you're never going to get to the point where you're spiritual enough to say, Lord, show me if there's anything wrong with me. And that's humility, and that's searching yourself, and that's getting the beam out of your own eye. And that is starting with you and saying, Lord, I want to fix me. Judge me. I've walked in my integrity, Lord. Now you judge me, and you search me, and you look at me. And if I'm not doing anything wrong, then bless me, and then search me and let me know anything else, and we'll fix it. And then try me and make sure there's nothing that's not yours. You say, that is not what I really want to do, Pastor. You know why that is? Is because you're just like I am, a normal, trained to be self-centered American human. Shouldn't say American there. And what happens is we are serving God for our own benefit. Instead of, God, I want you to be happy. What would please you? It's all about your happiness. Instead, you're trying to say, I want to serve God so he blesses me. It's almost selfish Christianity. You're serving God for yourself. But when you really start serving God, you look up and you say, Lord, if there's anything that's not pleasing you, please tell me and search and check me out so I'm pleasing you, because you're just a vessel of his. Now, that is really advanced Christianity that we don't see often. But that's being psalmish. It is living like the Psalms, the Psalm lifestyle, and the way people in Psalms live is they ask God to search them and ask God to try them, and they judge their own selves and fix their own selves first, then go to God and say, God, check me out, and Lord, try me and search me. And if you really want to please God, you really got to go to that next level, because he's going to find things that you need to fix for your good, for eternity's good, and for his good and his kingdom's good. But most Christians can't get past even where they are ready to have God search them, because they're still enjoying themselves too much where they are. Let's pray. Father, I pray it'd be people who are like these Psalms. Lord, we read Psalm 7, Psalms 26, Psalms 139. We didn't really get into Jeremiah much, but we did read 1 Corinthians 11 and kind of see the attitude of if we'd examine ourselves. And then if we'd ask you to search us and try us, Lord, we could really become an amazing Christian who could rock the world. Help us, Lord, to be this way. Lord, help us to be psalmish in these characteristics. And please, Lord, show us if there is anything in us that isn't like this. And thank you that God can reveal to us things. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to make a real simple invitation and thought, because the message is pretty simple. One, do you have things you already know? God doesn't even need